Good morning. I was hoping that at least a few of you would sing along with that song. How many of you know it? Well, what's your excuse? You want to try it just once? Do you? Want to sing it with me? You want to help me? Come on. That's right. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Oh, give yourself a round of applause. That was wonderful. I hope you've enjoyed this morning's message. God bless. No. Again, good morning. My name is Bill Bruno, and I am the campus pastor over at Yorktown. And I bring you greetings from the staff over there. We're part of you. We are. It's just a blessing to be here and to see so many familiar faces. And quite honestly, I've met so many new people in the last two services, so it's awesome. Welcome, welcome. You know, why can't we be friends? That is a very good question. How many of you like to have friends? Let's see. How many of you have friends? How many are so lonely? No, we won't go there. We all have friends or people that we count as friends. And you know, honestly, I think there's a deep desire in all of our hearts to be around people who love us and respect us and encourage us. And those we call friends. Friends are really people, and I believe they just enrich and encourage us in our lives. At least that's the ideal definition of what a friend is. I believe also that God put a seed in all of us, that needs to be enriched and needs to grow and needs to bear fruit. And I think that God uses friends and close people very close to us to either make that seed grow or really just so it stays dormant for a very long time and doesn't do anything. And it's all about friends, all about friendship. Because you see, friends, know it or not, God created you for community. He didn't create you to be alone. He didn't create you to live alone in a closet somewhere. He didn't create you to be isolated from the world. People who isolate themselves, people who feel they don't need friends, they don't need companionships, they can do life alone. Most of these people are very lonely and very depressed people. And the good news is you don't have to be that way. Right here at this church, we have what's called life groups. How many of you know what a life group is? That's good. You see, I couldn't preach this morning unless I put a plug in for life groups. That just had to be done because, you see, Pastor Todd is over at the Yorktown campus this morning, and I know that he just absolutely loves life groups, so I told him I'd put a little plug in this morning. So life groups, if you're part of a life group, that's a network of friends. People are designed to encourage you and to just help you in your walk with the Lord. Speaking of friends, I lost a very good friend about a week and a half ago. His name was Hollis Griffey. Any of you know Hollis by any chance? You do. Hollis was just a great guy. Hollis, we knew each other for, about 20 years. We worked together in radio and in television and promoting concerts. In fact, I used to call Hollis Dr. Gadget. Because if a television camera would break, or if a piece of recording equipment would break, Hollis could get a piece of duct tape and some wire, and he'd make that thing work. Even if he electrocuted himself doing it, Hollis could make it work. He was an unusual character. Let me see how many of you know Christian music. How many of you know the name Newsboys? Oh, that's cool. Hollis Griffey's the only person that I've ever met who kidnapped Peter Furler of the Newsboys, rushed him into the back of a recording van, and we did a live broadcast with Peter back there. We got on the air, and Peter, I said, "Hi, Peter, how are you?" He said, "Kidnapped." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, they took me from the rehearsal studio, moved me into the back of this van. I have no idea where I am, and I'm talking with you." I said, "Who did that?" He said, "This guy that's called Dr. Gadget, Hollis Griffey." Hollis was a good friend of mine. You see, what Hollis did was he enriched and he encouraged my life. And that was just awesome because that's what friends do. They enrich and encourage your life. Like I said, Hollis passed away. He was a sick young man. I loved him dearly. He passed away a couple of weeks ago. And it was interesting that in preparation for his funeral, I remember talking with the funeral director and several other people that said, we want to help you say goodbye to Hoss Griffey. And I sat there, you know, when you're a pastor and you're officiating at a funeral, I sat there, I wanted to say something, but it wasn't the right time. It just wasn't. So everyone was saying, we're preparing to say goodbye to Hollis. I have good news for you. I didn't say goodbye to Hollis Griffey. I refused to say goodbye to Dr. Gadget. Because you see, Hoss knew the Lord with all his heart. He served him. He was my brother in Christ. And I don't say goodbye to those people. Do you know what I say? See you later. Try that. See you later. I don't hear you. See you later. Because since he knew the Lord, and I know the Lord, I'm going to see him again. So I can say, Hoss will see you later. He's a close friend in the Lord. He knew Jesus, and I will see him later. That's good news, don't you think? Isn't that nice to know that you don't say goodbye to people you really love if they know the Lord, and if you know the Lord, you don't say goodbye. You go, I'll see you later, because we will see them later. And that's good news. I come here every Tuesday. You might not know that. I mean, if you want to all come over and bring coffee on Tuesday, I'll be here and gladly accept it. Between Jerry and I, we can take care of about as much coffee as you bring over. And if you want to throw in a couple of donuts, we'll take care of that too. I promise you. So listen, every Tuesday I come here. And I come here because, you know, in the afternoon we have a pastor's meeting. When all the pastors from the two campuses get together and we pray together and we talk about what's going on in the church, it's really good. And you might think that's why I come on Tuesday, that would be the primary reason. If that's what you think, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Because the meeting's at 2 o'clock. I could come at 1:30 and still be at the meeting at 2, but I show up around 9 o'clock in the morning after I bring my wife to work. I drive over here. Why do you think I come here on Tuesday mornings and spend almost the whole day? Because genuine friendships enrich and encourage your life. I want to spend time with Pastor Mark, by the way, who's back. They love you more at 8:30. What can I tell you? Pastor Mark's back. That's better. But I like spending time with Pastor Mark and Pastor Todd, Pastor Jerry, and the staff here at the church. Why do I want to spend time with them? Because you see, these folks enrich and they encourage my life. Those are the people I want to spend time with. I don't want to spend time with people who drag me down and make me feel miserable and say all kinds of nasty things. I don't want to be with those people. But I want to be with people who encourage me and help me in my walk with the Lord and make me better at what I do and who I am. And that's Pastor Mark, Pastor Jerry, Pastor Todd, and the staff here at the church. It's encouraging. I get the same thing at the Compass Church. I'm blessed to be surrounded by people who I'm getting to call friends. And they enrich my life, and they encourage me. And that's a good thing. I spend time with my wife. Isn't that good news? Why? She enriches and she encourages my life. For 44 years, almost 45 years. I know neither one of us looked that old, but it's been that. I know what you're thinking. You're saying he does, but forget that. Almost 45 years, she has enriched and encouraged me. She's also saved my life. We'll talk more about that later. That's the bright side of things. That is the bright side of friendships. People who enrich and encourage you. The question is there a dark side? What do you think? There is a dark side to friendships. There is. And Jerry talked about that last week. Leave it to Jerry to talk about the dark side. Guardrails. I never thought about guardrails. I mean, guardrails are on the side of a road. You know, guardrails are designed to do what? They're like a system that keeps you from going off the cliff. That's what I think about. They're a system of guardrails that keep you from going head-on into one another. Have any of you ever driven in the Rocky Mountains? Let me see. Ever driven there? Man, I tell you, my wife and I went there many years ago. And sometimes it's pretty scary because most of the time there are guardrails. And you know, if you get too close to that edge, you'll hit that guardrail and it keeps you, pushes you back on the road. Some roads don't have them. We were up above the tree line on these roads, and you look and you look and you're here, and all you can see is almost straight down, no guardrail. It's pretty scary. How many of you have been in Jamaica? Any people from Jamaica? There are a few of you. You ever go on one of those narrow roads with no guardrails, and there's a cliff and a banana plantation and a half-ton truck or three-quarter-ton coming right at you, and you're wondering, who's going to win? And so you close your eyes and you hope that your driver knows what he's doing. Guardrails, they're designed to keep you from getting in trouble. I never transpose those guardrails into something personal. Personal guardrails. They're a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. Now, I changed that just a little for my own personal definition. You see, I said for a Christian, which is who I am, it's a personal standard of behavior guided by God's word. I added that in there. Guided by God's word that becomes a matter of conscience. Now, if you don't know the Lord and you're here this morning, I want you to know this message is for you too. Because I believe God uses our consciences. Even if we don't know Him, even if we haven't committed our life to Him, we know the difference between right and wrong. I think most people, if not the majority of people, know when you're doing something wrong. Before I came to Christ, boy, I knew when I did something wrong. And I did a lot wrong. I did. And I'm not proud of it. Not at all. You know, this personal standard of behavior is influenced a lot by the people that we hang with. The people we rub elbows with will guide us in the things that we do. Andy Stanley says this, and we're studying guardrails, which is Andy Stanley's book. Andy Stanley says, your greatest regrets don't revolve around your enemies. Your greatest regrets really revolve around with the people you hang with. Now, you just give that some thought. Your enemies, for the most part, haven't been the ones that have gotten you to do the wrong thing. It's the people you hang with, the people you call your friends, the people who influence you and tell you, well, this is okay, you can get away with it, you can enjoy this, everyone else is doing it. So why don't you? Those are people who are your friends. So your friends really have a great influence on who you are. Personal story. Many, many years ago, some of you know me well enough to realize that I wasn't a Christian all my life. Many years ago, I worked for General Motors Corporation. And I was about 18, almost 19 years old. I didn't know my wife at that time. I had met her many years earlier, but no intention of getting married. I couldn't. I didn't know who she was, and she was only a little kid at the time. Little kid of what, about 16 maybe? And I hadn't met you. But anyway, I worked in Rappin Pack, and Rappin Pack is an interesting place. It's where all the ball bearings, do you know what ball bearings are? They're what keep your things rolling. All the ball bearings are brought into this large warehouse, and I worked on this machine. And the setup man would be up there, and the bearings would come down a chute, and they'd be all wrapped, and they'd get into a box, and they'd close the box. My job was to take them and put them inside a large carton. And we would do that for 8, 10, 12, 14 hours sometimes packing bearings. Now, the guy who was a setup man, nice guy. He'd been there 15 years. He knew what he was doing. Everyone respected him, and I was the new guy on the line. So I wanted to do everything I could to impress him that I could keep up with him. So I worked hard. Eventually, we became friends, good friends. In fact, we were the hardest workers in that whole warehouse. We outdid production of anyone there. We packed more boxes, and it all looked good. We were buds. As soon as the lunch bell rang, we would walk very carefully to the locker room door. You weren't allowed to run in the factory. But as soon as we hit that locker room door, we were like two gazelles. We would sprint and jump over benches and get to that. Yeah, really, I could sprint. It's a long time ago. But I could, and I was pretty good at it. And we would race to that front door. And we'd get to the door, we'd walk very nicely till we got to the guardhouse, and then we'd sprint to our car, because we only had 45-minute break. And we'd get in the car, we'd drive around the corner to the package store, we'd pick up our little shot of Southern Comfort and our can of beer, we'd drink that and go back to work. He was my friend. We did that every single night. every night. Something inside of me said, Bill, do you think that's a good idea? But I wanted him to be my friend. So I wanted to do what my friend did. And I did. Before I met my wife, I was a musician. We had this, you'd laugh. I know you would. We were, it's a long time ago. So our group, there were three or four of us. We wore the blue paisley jackets with the velvet lapels. It sounds pretty funny now. But you know, that was in the days of, what's his name? Everyone did that. Well, it sounded pretty good, but I'll tell you something. We were involved in some things we shouldn't have been involved with. When we played at the University of Connecticut at the sororities and fraternity houses, we played in the nightclubs and bars. They were my friends. And so I wanted to do what they did. I wanted to be like them. I wanted to be liked. And it was important for me to be liked. And so what they did, I did. And there was a guardrail in my life that was going, shouldn't be doing that. But truth be known, ever since I was a little kid, no guardrails were put in my life. I actually could do pretty much anything that I wanted. I wasn't a bad kid, but I set my own boundaries. I did what I wanted to do. Then Bobby came along. My wife, Bobby, raise your hand. People may not know who you are. There is the guardrail the Lord put in my life. There she is. I wasn't a Christian at the time. Well, when Bobby and I were married, and then she got pregnant, and we had a little girl, I looked at that little girl, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I can't do the musician thing anymore. I just can't do that. There was something in me that was saying, it's wrong. It's not the place to be. So I did something that I know a few musicians who have done this. I sold my instrument, and I stopped playing, because something in me told me, it's better not to do that, but rather pay attention to my wife and my daughter. Guardrails. Even when I didn't know the Lord, that conscience told me I needed to do that. You know, Solomon writes this. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says this, walk with the wise, and you become what?
Wise.
But a companion of fools suffers what? Harm. Walk with the wise and you become wise. You know, that's what I do when I come here Tuesday at the Selma campus. I surround myself with people who are wise. I don't think Jerry's here, so I can brag about him right now. Jerry is one of the finest administrative pastors I've had the privilege of knowing. And that's important for me, because if you ask me, Pastor Bill, what would you rather do? Would you rather preach? Would you rather teach? Would you rather praise the Lord? Would you rather counsel people or pray for people? Or would you rather be with the books? Well, the books are somewhere down on the line. But I realize that it's important to have some administrative skills. And so I hang with Jerry. And I've learned a lot from Jerry. Jerry's heart is for both campuses, and he helps us. He guides us in that area. When you rub elbows with the wise, it's contagious. It rubs off. Believe it, don't tell anyone, but Pastor Todd rubs off on me. I know that's scary for some of you, but it's true. Pastor Todd rubs off on me. Pastor Mark rubs off on me. Jerry rubs off on me. The staff of this church rubs off on me. When I go to the Selma campus and I have administrators and I have people there, even from Little Scholars who are here this morning, they rub off on me. I watch the way they deal with children. I watch their patience. I watch their love. And I go, yeah, I like that. It's contagious. You are contagious, either for good or for bad. How are you contagious? I mean, really, how contagious are you? And that's important, because if you walk with the wise, you become wise. You rub off on other people, and they rub off on you. And that's important to know about that. You know what a wise person realizes? A wise person understands this. They understand that all life is connected. That's what a wise person understands. All life is connected. A decision that you make today is going to affect you tomorrow and who knows how far into the future. The decision that I made that I wanted this woman to be my wife, that just didn't affect me on the day of our wedding. It affected me the day after, and it's affected me for almost 45 years. Whew, 45 years. Good decision. She really is part of me. She's contagious. Her love, her mercy, her compassion, they complete me. You've heard that before, but it's true. They do. But that was one of the greatest decisions I'd ever made. As a matter of fact, it was number two. You know what number one was? I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I called him my Savior and my Lord. And you know what he did? Jesus had the nerve to forgive all the nasty things that I had done for years. He forgave all the times in the bars. He forgave all of that. He forgave everything that I did that was wrong and nasty, and there was a lot of stuff, and he gave me a new life. He rubbed off on me. I think that's pretty cool. And look where I am. And you're going, oh, yeah. No. Because, you know, a few of you may not like this morning. Because in the back of your mind, you are thinking about people or groups of people that you hang with. Even now, you're reevaluating that. You're saying, now, do they push me on the light side or the dark side? How do they affect my life? Because you see, friendships are contagious. Who you hang around with rubs off on you. It does. So who are you hanging with? Who are you hanging with? You see, you walk with the wise and you become what? Wise, yeah. Would you like to be wise? Walk with wise people. Hang with them. Learn from them. Listen to them. Walk with people who love God and love His Word. And when they counsel you and talk to you, they can say, this is what the Word says. Live by it. But you know what? A companion of fools suffers what? A companion of fools suffers what? See, it doesn't say you'll become a fool. It doesn't say that. It says if you hang with fools, it'll do harm to you. Even if you are a fine person, even if you've got a great character, even if you give to the church and you attend worship and you raise your hands in worship and you praise the Lord and you tithe and you all those wonderful things, you don't kick the kittens. I mean, apparently these folks love cats. They were up here before. You know, you're nice to animals, you love kids, but if you hang out with fools, it doesn't make you a fool, but it'll harm you. It will harm you. I hung out with fools for a long time. A long time. And they didn't help me. They harmed me more than I can imagine. You see, here's what a fool is. A fool is someone who knows the difference between right and wrong, but they don't care. I want you to hear that. They know the difference between right and wrong, but who cares? See, life is what I want to do. Life is, if it feels good, yeah, that's our world. That's foolish. Now, this morning was something different. It felt good to worship. Oh, I love being here this morning. It just was awesome. It felt good. I can't wait to do it again at the 11:30 service. I'm spoiled coming here this morning. I only get it to do one service over at Compass, which will change, Pastor Mark. We're praying for that. Amen. But see, a fool knows the difference. They know right and wrong, but they just don't care. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you some tips, some suggestions that you can take with you, and they're in your notes, and maybe you'll recognize yourself in here. Maybe you will. These are some danger signs. These are some indications that the edge is right there and you're careful because you're going to fall over. First, the people you hang with are going in this direction, but something inside of you wants to go this direction. You know this is right, but they're going over here. Be careful. Reevaluate your friendships. Put your foot down and say, I can't do that. You know, when people are in trouble, I'll talk to the teenagers now, or even preteen. You see your group that are going in this direction. Everyone's doing that. You don't want to do that. And so what you do is you stand aside and you go, I will not participate in that. I can't do that. It's wrong. They may make fun of you. They may push you around. They may say, you're not in our group anymore. But I'll guarantee you this. When they get in trouble, you are the one they'll come to. Because you're not where they are. You're in a better place. It happens all the time. Kids who are made fun of because they stand up for what is right are usually the kids that others come to eventually for help. Because you're not participating in that. So if your group is going in one direction and you know you shouldn't, but you're tempted, watch out. It's a guardrail. Here's another one. You catch yourself to pretending to be somebody that you're not. I'm not going to go into great detail, but it's just not who you are. You're pretending to be someone that you're not. Watch out. Guardrail. How about you feel pressure to compromise? Your friends are pressuring you. Well, everyone else does this. What's the matter with? Do you want to be popular? If you want to be popular, you need to do this. And the pressure mounts and the pressure mounts. You know what? Maybe you're hanging with the wrong people. Find someone who will encourage you, not pressure you, but encourage you to do the right thing. Here's one too. I know it'll happen. There we go. You hear yourself saying this, I'll go, but I won't participate. Oh, really? I will go, but I won't participate. They're going to do the wrong thing. They're going out bar hopping. They're going to go out and they're going to get drunk tonight. I know they are. But you know what? I can go with them, but I won't participate. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that says this. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. I don't care how strong your character is. I don't care what a wonderful person you are. But if you're hanging with people that are bad company, guess what? I'm sorry. They will win. They will win. Because Scripture even warns you, if you hang out with bad company, it corrupts good character. So watch who you hang with, please. Here's the big one. This is number 5. What if Pastor Mark finds out? What if Pastor Mark or Pastor Jerry or Pastor Bill or Pastor Todd find out where I am right now? Does God know what I'm watching? What if God finds out that I'm watching this R-rated movie? Or worse, what if God finds out that I'm doing this? He already knows. That's a warning sign. If you ask yourself that question, and you know what? I've been there. Everyone in this church has been there. You're doing something that you know you shouldn't, and your conscience is going, do you want anyone else to know that you're doing this? Have you been? I have. No hands, please, but I know I have been. Be careful. That's a guardrail. Christians, remember something, please. Everywhere you go, everything you participate in, every word that you say, you're including the Lord. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Whatever you do, you're taking Him with you. He doesn't leave and go somewhere else. He stays right there and He's with you. Where are you taking God? What are you participating in that you're bringing the Lord into? Remember, bad company corrupts good character. Friends are important. Your friends will influence and possibly determine the destination of your life. I've had some very bad friends, bad company, but I thank God that He has replaced them with some amazing friends who care about my soul. This is even before I came to this church, who cared about my soul and brought me to Christ and showed me the way to live. Has that made me perfect? Absolutely not. I've hit more guardrails along the way. I mean, there are junkyards filled with the guardrails that I've hit. There are. But I've always been forgiven because of Christ. I can stand before you and say every guardrail that I've hit and sometimes fallen over has been forgiven because Jesus is my Savior and Lord. Can you say that? I can. Let me pray for you, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for the guardrails that you've put in my life, whether the guardrail's name is Bobby, my wife, or the pastors on this staff, or the staff over at the Compass Church, and others throughout my life, Lord, you've put there as a guardrail, a warning, people to keep me away from that which is negative, people to encourage me and enrich my life. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray for those who are here this morning, Lord, that, Father, you would show them what it is they need to move away from, what guardrails they need to avoid. I thank you for that, Father. I ask you to do that by your Spirit, and I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.